You're listening to EAA Radio, the radio voice of AirVenture.
You're listening to EAA Radio. I'm Farid Gio. The FAA has revoked the pilot certificates of the Northwest Flight 188 crew, which last week flew an estimated 150 miles past their destination at cruising altitude and did not communicate with air traffic controllers or airline dispatchers for over an hour. Captain Timothy B. Cheney and First Officer Richard I. Cole told National Transportation Safety Board investigators that they became distracted while using their personal laptops to learn new crew scheduling software that was put into use as part of Northwest's merger with Delta Airlines. So joining me now is Max Trescott, author of many books, including a book he introduced to us at AirVenture, Max Trescott's GPS and WAS Instrument Flying Handbook. He's all about the glass and technology in the cockpit and what it does to our brains when we fly. Welcome, Max.
Hey, thanks a lot.
What did technology do to the brains of that Northwest Airlines crew last week?
You know, I think that's probably one of the most stunning outcomes that we possibly have had. I think that most people thought that the story was a little odd to begin with, and of course the final twist was even odder, that the pilots were sitting there in their seats using their laptops. And I looked at a video this morning that shows how the Airbus A320 is configured, and it's fascinating. Since they have a side stick rather than a yoke, which would be in front of the pilot, Airbus has installed a pull-out tray in front of the pilots, which is just a perfect place to place a laptop. Of course, when you open up the laptop, the display of the laptop now obscures the aircraft instruments behind it. So I think, unfortunately, these pilots, if indeed the story they tell us is true, must have become increasingly engaged in their computers and just totally got out of the loop as to what was going on in the aircraft.
If you look at that video, and I know what you're talking about, despite blocking out some primary flight displays, there was plenty of other instrumentation that could have reminded them to put their heads back in the game.
Well, you know, even if all of the instrumentation had been locked in the aircraft, they still should have tried to maintain some semblance of situational awareness. And I think that's the biggest problem. Regardless of what happened in that cockpit, and we may not never know for sure exactly what happened, what we do know is they lost situational awareness. And that's probably the most critical thing for a pilot to have. So clearly they were not on their A game, and I'm afraid they'll probably be looking for other jobs.
We don't have to fly an Airbus to get distracted by technology. What is in our light airplane cockpits that can be just as distracting as, say, a personal laptop?
Well, it's funny you should mention distractions, because I've come to the conclusion after a lot of years of flying that any time I have made a mistake, sometimes, you know, serious, sometimes minor, it almost always is associated with a distraction. And so I think that we have both external distractions, we have internal distractions. I mean, in the case of the Airbus, it was an internal distraction that they created themselves. I think that's relatively rare. So we always have to be looking for, you know, things that are going on externally, which are grabbing our attention. Let me give you an example. I was just reading one of the NASA reports, and a crew was taxiing in Atlanta in their jet, and they got fixated on the movement of a baggage cart in front of them, and they totally missed that they were about to hit another jet that was backing out at that point in time. So I think that it's very easy to get distracted by anything, and I think the key thing for pilots is to remember that anytime something out of the ordinary occurs, they've got to kind of consciously realize that that is likely to distract them and refocus on the task at hand.
Normally, yes, you may read some things in the cockpit, whether it be manuals or something else, but usually you have that internal clock that tells you it's time to look up at something. It just seems unfathomable that they could be distracted for an entire hour, if that's indeed how long they had been distracted.
I think that most pilots are at kind of a constant state of awareness or wariness where, you know, regardless of how relaxed we are, you don't let more than a couple minutes go by before you start thinking about, I wonder if this is okay, and I wonder if that's okay, and gee, you know, I haven't heard ATC call. I wonder if I missed a handoff. So I think that's the normal state of mind of a pilot. So the fact that they were out of communication for 78 minutes really does suggest that maybe the true story is that they were really asleep and they made up the laptop story. But either way, I agree with you. It's just hard to imagine any crew member in any type of airplane who could go an hour without realizing that they should still be talking to air traffic control.
And that's probably why there's two crew in the cockpit in the first place, to combat distractions amongst everything else. And if two can't seem to fight that evil, what do single pilots do to stay focused in the cockpit?
No, I think you're right. I think that there's no question that having a two-pilot crew is safer. I just love flying two-pilot airplanes. It's just so much more fun and relaxing. So for a single pilot, sure. The odds are, you know, against them in that sense. They have to really stay incredibly focused. And if you think about it, the problem is really like a cat. I mean, if anybody's watched a cat when it's focused on a mouse or something like that, it just suddenly can no longer be aware of what's going on around it. I actually years ago saw a study in a psychology book in which they showed the waveforms of a cat, and it actually could no longer hear as well. The waveforms were damped down, and I think humans probably do the same thing to some extent. I think when we focus and lock in on something, that we suddenly are just less aware of other things that are going on around us. So I think that's the key, is probably just to identify when we are distracted. Now, I've actually looked in the research, and I can't find anybody who has talked about how we as humans can identify when we are being distracted. I don't think there are any good techniques out there. About the best I can suggest is that people recognize that distractions are a problem, and any time they see something that may be a potential distraction, that they label it that. I mean, just call aloud and go, hey, that's a distraction. And identifying it, I think, will help them refocus on the task at hand.
Now, some of the specific lessons maybe of this episode, say to a home builder maybe on a test flight or something like that, where they do have some technology in the cockpit, where they're trying to get readings and take measurements because of, they're test flying their airplane to make adjustments. What kind of strategies can they employ there?
You know, and I think in particular, anybody who has glass-type instrumentation, and of course that's becoming more and more common in home builds, you're going to find that these devices are really attractive nuisances in the sense that they're magnets, they draw your attention into the cockpit. So I think pilots really need to form the habit of, splitting their attention, kind of, spend no more than, 10 seconds heads down and then, look out, which means that they probably want to conscientiously break up longer tasks. So, for example, if they're doing, in-flight reprogramming of the GPS, which hopefully they don't have to do because, presumably they put most of their flight plan in before they left the ground. But those are longer tasks, and pilots really ought to get accustomed to breaking it up, doing part of the task, looking out, looking around to see what else is going on, and then resuming the rest of the task. You really just can't stay heads down, to put in 3-4 new waypoints into a GPS without thinking about what else is going on around you.
So the moral of the story is, don't text and drive, no matter what vehicle you're in.
I think that's a perfect analogy. And, of course, the U.S. government is now preventing employees from texting and driving. Here in California, we're not allowed to do that either. And it's just stunning that we now have to let people know, don't do that in the cockpit either.
Thanks very much, Max.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Max Truscott is author of several books about gadgets and how they and you should interact with your airplane. Look for his monthly column on technology starting with January's edition of EAA's Sport Aviation Magazine. You're listening to EAA Radio.